Good morning. It is so good to be with you this morning. I've missed being with you. Pastor Kim is with her daughter in Colorado, and so we hold her in prayer for safe travels. And she'll be back with us, I believe, by Tuesday. I understand that you have been reflecting on what it means to be Easter people. Over the last five Sundays of Easter, you have been spending time with the accounts of Jesus' post-resurrection appearances, what that meant to the disciples, how they responded, and what it means to us, and how we respond as Easter people. And on this sixth Sunday of the Easter season, we're going to take a step back. We're going into John's Gospel in chapter 14 and to a portion of what was Jesus' farewell discourse to his disciples, where he tells them of his coming departure from them. And resurrection and Easter are not here yet. They've had their Last Supper together. Jesus has washed their feet. He has sent Judas out to betray him. He has predicted Peter's denial. And the disciples are anxious. They're worried. They're confused. They're asking questions. And Jesus is seeking to console them. He tells them he goes to prepare a place for them, and will come again for them, and that they know the place to where he is going, for he is the way, the truth, and the life. And here in chapter 14, verses 15 through 21, Jesus speaks of how those who remain on earth will have access to his presence with him. So listen for the word of God for you. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me. And those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them. The word of the Lord. Let us pray. Loving God, we hear these words of Jesus, and we pray that your Spirit might be present here with us as we seek nurture and comfort and understanding here in this place. On this Easter day, amen. So John's Gospel took its final shape probably toward the end of the first century in the Common Era, and members of this community of John probably, they just did not know Jesus when Jesus was on earth. And so the community saw itself in the telling of this story of the anxiety of the disciples facing life without their teacher. The community addressed its own anxiety by repeating these calming words of Jesus, reminding them that access to God continues in the community's adherence to his commands and the promised advocate. And regardless of time or place, Jesus' message stands for us. When Jesus says, I will not leave you as orphans, I am coming to you. And surely it is not merely physical protection Jesus is providing, for we understand many of his first disciples met imprisonment, they met death because of their ongoing witness to him. But I wonder if what Jesus is offering is a continuing sense of identity. Lives which are not void of purpose or meaning because he is not there. And in the promised certainty of his continued presence, to not be left orphaned means that those who are not so abandoned will have the courage and the freedom and the hope to continue to live profound lives of love as Jesus did. And so these words stand for us. In our own anxiety, in our own doubts, in our own fears, I will not leave you. My spirit is with you. Here in John's Gospel, Jesus is using a particular form of the word spirit, parakletos, which literally means the one called alongside, a meaning both in Greek and Latin referring to a legal advocate. And Jesus will go on to develop the meaning of this parakletos in further references in this farewell discourse. Holy Spirit has been mentioned earlier in John's Gospel, descending on Jesus like a dove at his baptism, marking him out as the one who will go on to baptize with the Holy Spirit. In the instruction to Nicodemus about being born in the Spirit, in the words to the Samaritan woman at the well about worship in the Spirit, in his teachings back in Capernaum about the Spirit giving life. But the fullest teaching about spirit in John's Gospel begins here. Advocate. Parakletos. This is a personal designation picturing a spirit that Jesus is calling in to defend us, come alongside us, console us. Just as Jesus received everything from God, and while on earth is our way to God, when Jesus ascends to heaven, it is this paraclete, this advocate, who dwells in us. And so John's Gospel, proclaiming Jesus as truth, the way that we know God, is now telling us in Jesus' words that this advocate is here as the spirit of truth, the spirit of Jesus, the spirit within us, continuing Jesus' presence. These are words that were of comfort to that first century community of John's believers, and also is something that is so comforting for us. But Jesus is saying at the beginning of this to keep my commandments, and I will send this advocate. And we see that earlier in chapter 13, Jesus has given a new commandment to his disciples, to love one another, just as Jesus has loved his disciples and all those with whom he encountered. Take care of one another. Jesus is saying, come alongside one another, and I will make sure there is an advocate coming alongside you. I don't know what you think of when you consider the Holy Spirit, how you experience the Holy Spirit, perhaps a feeling of the divine presence, a feeling of security, a comforting knowledge of a connection to God. We so need this when our lives may be feeling unmanageable, spinning out of control. And this word for spirit we find here in our reading, this advocate, also evokes action. The one who has been called to our side to stand up for us. One New Testament professor who reflects on the power of this word suggests this advocate is a force on the move. Jesus calls the Spirit another advocate, the earlier advocate being Jesus himself, and Jesus was most certainly a force on the move. Our Jesus was not one who sat with a single disciple out in isolation, sharing divine wisdom. Jesus was out, as we know in our reading and our study and our worship, that this is a Jesus who was having meals with outcasts and sinners, confronting money changers in the temple, healing and preaching and on the move all over Galilee to Jerusalem, always on the move, Spirit on the move. Jesus promises this advocate, this Spirit of truth, to be with us. We can't see this advocate, but we can see Jesus in this healing, in the teaching, in his dying, in his faithfulness. We see Jesus operating in community with his disciples and the others he serves. He is present and active, out and engaging, dealing with real people and their struggles, sharing their successes, their hopes, their questions. So when Jesus is promising to be within us, we are also part of his active presence in that kind of communal context, in this congregation, in the greater church, in this neighborhood, as we engage in loving one another and coming alongside one another, finding ways to engage in lives of active service, being part of that force on the move. Jesus is truly present when we keep his commandments to love and serve one another. And this advocate will be there to encourage us, to remind us we are not alone, to help us see beyond ourselves, to help us see in new ways, to breathe life into our efforts to serve God. We each come here this morning. Perhaps we're tired. We're carrying our own worries, our own anxieties, our own grief. We have our own doubts. We're distracted by wherever we need to be later today, what else is going on in our lives, worried about perhaps someone in our lives. But I invite you to take some time right now to be fully present in this moment, in this place, and let our prayer be the words of this familiar hymn, Spirit of the Living God. I invite you to close your eyes, to let go of what you are holding so deeply and painfully inside of you, and let God's Spirit come alongside of you. Spirit of the Living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on all of us here. Melt us, mold us, fill us, use us. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on each of us. I pray we may be God's vessels of love, not only holding love within us, but pouring it out for others to receive as we receive. So, Lord, hear our prayer. Melt us. Work within us to be more loving. Remove aspects of ourselves that keep us from loving fully, from forgiving, and for asking for forgiveness. Mold us into the persons you have created us to be. Fill us with your love, your compassion, your indignation over injustice, your courage, your wisdom. Use us to continue your ministry of love in the world, working beside others as models, following your example, inspiring the church and the world to create not only a present reality of love, but a future one as well. Amen.